So we're working on gratitude in this season of Thanksgiving, and one thing that means is that maybe this season we can all find some tools and resources and raise our awareness a little bit to be more grateful in a personal way. But there's another dimension to gratitude, and that is a shared sense of gratitude that we can experience as a group of people who are sharing our lives together. So a few comments. Let me begin with these two readings. Psalm 127, if you were reading it in your Bible, many Bible translations would have a little superscript up before the psalm even begins. There's a collection of psalms that all say at the beginning of the psalm, this is a psalm of ascent, A-S-C-E-N-T, a psalm of ascending. This was a collection of songs. These were road trip songs for Israel. These were songs they sung together and prayed together as they made their way on pilgrimage to Jerusalem for their holy feasts and holy festivals, okay? So this psalm that we read is one of their road trip songs. Now, I've been on road trips with some of you, and I know that some of you love to sing in the car when you're going somewhere, right? So this is for you. This is what they did. They sang this psalm. And this festival song sings of God at work in, beneath, and through all of our activities, everything we do. The psalm gives us several examples so that we can imagine our lives just suffused and permeated with God's creative, sustaining energy. So the examples are building a house, protecting a city, earning a living, and raising a family. In all of that and in everything else you do in life, God is quietly at the heart of all that. In all these projects of life, there's an ongoing dependence upon God's presence that's natural and good. And this kind of singing on your way to the festival with a group of other pilgrims, this is singing that begets gratitude for all of God's gifts. This way of life doesn't demand the miraculous. Notice that they're not singing of God doing something specifically miraculous. This is a song about finding God's goodness working in and through everyday, ordinary things. Learning to pray this way and to sing this way helps us release the anxiety that forms when we start thinking that everything is up to us, that everything's on our shoulders to fix or to figure out. When we enter into this sung prayer, we can feel ourselves relax. The tension leaves our bodies. When we recognize that God's grace is the gift that flows through everything we do. Now, that reading from Hebrews might sound strange to some of us. I suggested it might help. When we read Hebrews, it might help to read it as an expression of the shared joy of all of Israel's festival celebration. All through Hebrews, Jesus Christ is described as the new festival, the intensification of all of Israel's blessings and all of Israel's joy. So from this perspective, being Christian just refers to that joyful community who has now gathered around Jesus Christ, who is God's amazing gift to us, and not just to us, but to all the world. So gathered around the good news of Jesus Christ, we're dealing with the real thing. The author writes, he's not a copy or a shadow, he's the real thing. Gathered around Jesus Christ, we celebrate the one who has already accomplished our salvation in its entirety. He has done it all, and we don't need to worry about being good enough or lovable enough or worth it all. The only response to this gift is thanksgiving and joy and shared friendship and ministry together that's free of any kind of nervousness or anxiety. Gathered around Jesus Christ, we wait in hope with the help of God's Holy Spirit for Christ to appear again. So this waiting and watching is what makes it possible for us to live and work and to do it all in hope and not despair. We can work out our friendship with God and with others in the life of the church, doing all that we do, helping, serving, loving, knowing that God will bring all things to completion when Christ returns. Our efforts, as small as they might feel to us, As difficult as we might experience them, they all contribute to a movement towards the healing of the world that can only find its completion in Christ's glorious appearing. Now, we've been working on getting better at being grateful people, getting better at practicing thanksgiving. We've talked about the fact that it's a way of life. Often that grateful way of life will involve strong, intense, passionate emotions. You might experience gratitude or thankfulness as a strong emotion, even in a personal way. But often it doesn't strike us that directly. Often, as I've heard from many of you, the way you describe it, it's more like the background music to our lives. It's more like the soundtrack that just plays as you live your life. But one thing's for sure, we become grateful people as we realize that we are the recipients of many, many amazing, wonderful gifts. There's a few quotations on the back, on the next to the last page of your bulletin. Rumi, the mystic poet, says this: gratitude is the wine of the soul. Now, for those of you wine drinkers, you're going to like this. This is going to make sense to you, right? Gratitude is the wine of the soul. Wine connotes festivity, friendship, joy, celebration, and gratitude is at the heart of that. Diana Butler Bass writes in her book, Grateful, quote, "Strange thing about gratitude, it always comes with a preposition. We are grateful for something, grateful to someone, and often," and this is what I want to talk about today, "often grateful with others." Grateful with others. So yes, sometimes gratitude will be a very personal experience, but at other times we need to recognize this shared experience of gratitude with others. Obviously, it's Veterans Day weekend, and we recognize our veterans here this morning. Our city is in the midst of a whole weekend of different activities dedicated to honoring our veterans. Yesterday morning, there was a service at Memorial Hall, and the high school orchestra was there, and some of our young people played in that. Good job. The orchestra played the music of each of the branch of the military, and various people spoke, but it was a wonderful ceremony. That is, that experience in that memorial hall was an expression of patriotism that's a great example of this larger shared collective sense of gratitude. There was nothing partisan said, right? It had nothing to do with one group pitted against another in terms of politics, right? It was just this collective celebration of gratitude to those who served. There was nothing said about our country being bigger or better or more powerful or, you know, ahead of anybody else. It wasn't any of that sort of nasty nationalism. It was just all a celebration of God's gift to us as a country and an ability to express thanks to those who have served us so well. That was a communal expression of gratitude. There would be no way to capture that same sense of what was expressed in that service if I was all by myself. There are other examples of this. Maybe you've been to some great sporting events that stick in your memory. You know I'm a sports nut, so I'm going to give you sports examples. I'm sorry that Larry Nuss is not here this morning. He would appreciate this more than anyone else. The Royals went to the World Series twice, 2014 and 2015, lost in 2014 to the Giants. It was a great series. We wound up losing 4-3 because we couldn't handle Madison Baumgartner in that final game when he came in to pitch in all those late innings. But in 2015, they won. They beat the New York Mets. This was wonderful for me. You know, it had been a long time since, you know, these Kansas City Royals, underdogs in the heartland, never get credit, won a World Series, but they beat the Mets, which is the favorite team of my best friend in New York, so it has special, special resonance. And so in 2014, one of my friends in Kansas City got us tickets to go to the World Series. And so we went to game two. This is going to be weird with the stole on underneath it, but that's okay. So we went to game two, and the Royals won game two of that series to even it up, but they wound up losing the series. In 2015, he again got us tickets, and we went to game two. And they won that game 71. That was the game that Johnny Cueto pitched a complete game. Masterful, you know, before we had to trade him away because we couldn't pay him. But anyway, it was wonderful that year in that World Series. But my friend let me know that he had these World Series tickets only right before. So I realized that I had no Royals shirt or Royals hat. So I was embarrassed about this. So I immediately ran out, got the gear so that I would look okay at the World Series game. And boy, am I glad I did. Everyone was in blue. I've been to lots of great sporting events, but I don't know if I've been anywhere that it was that electrically charged. And baseball is a little bit down on my favorite sports lists, but it was wonderful. We planned a huge tailgate, and so did everyone else. And we were eating our food, and we were eating other people's food, and they were sharing with us, and we were sharing with them. And everyone went into the game together, and almost every pitch, I mean, everyone was hanging on every single thing that happened in that game. It was just wonderful. Almost no one left before it was over, even though the Royals were up 7-1, right? So it was late at night. It was October 25th, I think. It was getting cold. And when we left, you know, the traffic was a nightmare, but I don't remember a single angry honk or stressed out person. Everyone was just gladly waving everyone else in ahead of them. They didn't care how long it took. So you knew this was an unusual event. Now think of that. We didn't know each other, right? I mean, I knew my friends, didn't know everybody else. That collective sense of you're together and you're celebrating something that you have in common. I think that's what we're trying to get at when we say there is this larger than personal sense of gratitude, when you recognize that you are one of the many, many people whom God loves. You're part of a team. You're part of a crowd. I hope that this Pledge Sunday can be a day each year when we can rejoice and celebrate in what we have together, our ministry together, our worship, our work, our fellowship, our learning, our care. All of that is to be carried out in the spirit of a festival of gratitude, like a group of pilgrims singing their way to Jerusalem. Here among us, there is an abundance of gifts, financial gifts, of course, which sustain our ministry in the coming year, but gifts of time, gifts of friendship, passion, curiosity, food, laughter, service, help, compassion, all these gifts flowing back up and forth, shared among us with joy. There might be all kinds of tones or postures we might take when we share in the life of the church with our gifts. We might do it out of obligation. We might do it out of guilt or even out of shame. We might do it reluctantly. We might even do it with resentment. But there's another way that we can bring our gifts, and that is with a sense of festive hearts and a sense of shared joy, because we're glad to be here and to be here together. We might actually find it fun and adventurous and interesting to share in a project like we're in, the ministry and worship of a church with a bunch of different people, a lot of them who are really, really different than you are. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann writes, quote, in these festivals, Israel comes to a fresh realization that its freedom is not its own work, but is a gift gladly given by God. Festival is the capacity to enter a way of life in which all other claims, pressures, and realities can be suspended. So I hope that this festival sense of joy and celebration and freedom will mark our worship and our work together as a congregation. One last story and then I'm done. I have a friend in New York who never wants to go home. I've told you about this guy before. We had eaten a late dinner and of course I was ready to be done and turn in for the night. He said, no, just stop in this one little place I know. So we go across the street. This is in Carroll Gardens, Brooklyn. Across the street from where we are, there's this little place called Mini Bar, like M-I-N-I, Mini Bar. And it was tiny, tiny little box of a bar. When you walked in the door, you were about 10 feet from the bar. There's maybe four or five tables, six seats of the bar. That was it. I don't know. It was like a fourth of a storefront or something. There was a New York Knicks game on. So we got a table right near the bar. Everyone was watching the game. We swapped stories with all the people who were in there. The Knicks were terrible that year, but we were all cheering for the Knicks, sharing stories about the Knicks' past. When the game, they lost the game, by the way, the game was over. This bar, unbeknownst to us, has a tradition of turning on episodes of Bob Ross painting. You know Bob Ross, the guy with the big afro and the palette? And watching the Knicks game was wonderful. It really was. And what surprised me, though, and everyone's in a good mood by this point, everyone started cheering for Bob Ross. Every mark he made, people would clap and cheer. He'd make a little tree, or maybe it would erupt. He'd mark this outline of a mountain, everyone would cheer. It was the most fun I've ever had with a group of strangers. There was this sense of joy of sharing space with others that you didn't know that well, but you were in this odd project together and enjoying it. It was Thomas Jefferson who said, "When any act of charity or gratitude is presented to our sight or imagination, we are deeply impressed with its beauty and we feel a strong desire in ourselves of doing charitable and grateful acts also." That's a very fancy way of saying there is such a thing as positive peer pressure. Diana Butler Bass writes, "Research has shown that people really do respond emotionally to acts of moral beauty, and that beneficial acts and feelings cause other people to want to copy them. Researchers refer to this as moral elevation and have demonstrated that witnessing goodness increased actual biological responses in the parasympathetic nervous system, which controls the heart rate and calm breathing." She concludes, "Gratitude evidently is contagious. It can be spread from heart to heart." There is something wonderful about the experience of gratitude when we share it together with other people. Gratitude can be infectious, and generosity can be contagious.